The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Sitting on a bar stool, kind of short and kind of square, through the foam in his mustache, his voice filled the air. Talking about a state of mind, son. Talking about the state of Jefferson. It's a wave on a dusty road. It's a logger's heavy load. It's a cattle on the hill. It's a range full of thrills. It's a way of life. Settles in your soul.
Settles in your soul.
Soul of Jefferson.
Amen.
Good morning, everybody. This is Terry Raposa.
Janet Chandler.
And Wynn Carpenter.
And we are here with Jefferson State of Mind. We're broadcasting live from KCNR Studios, downtown Reading, 96.5 FM, where the music does sound better, and 1460 AM that works today. Yay!
Hallelujah.
We are also live, if you want to listen to that, on KCNR1460.com, KCNR1460.com, and we archive forever.
And ever.
And ever, so.
Amen.
Amen.
So, if you want to listen to this program 10 times or 20 times, which everybody should,
yeah, right.
You can go back and listen to it later or tell your friends to listen to it later, and most of you know that already, so I know I'm preaching to the choir. Today we have an announcement here. First of all, Janet's got a couple of announcements she wants to bring forward.
Oh,
I thought you said you wanted to do some announcements.
I do. I have a list of announcements.
Okay.
We have some important elections coming up on, well, November 4th. We have, for some of us, just one issue. For some of us, it's two issues. Measure A for the city, but it's the Proposition 50 that we will all be voting on. Please vote no. Vote no. Perhaps I should mention you should vote no. And the reasons that you should vote no on Prop 50, which is the redistricting, it allows politicians to seize the power from the citizens. It will not be fair and competitive elections. It will not be temporary. We all know how temporary works in California. It's forever. It's a dishonest ballot title. That's coming up. Be sure to vote. It's a very extremely important vote for California. We also have candidates coming up for election for governor in June, primary of June of 2026. If you have noticed lately, Katie Porter, the leading candidate for the Democrats for governor, has just about self-imploded with her comments on video.
I saw that, yep.
So who's going to be the front runner for the Dems after Katie? We have some good candidates running for the Republican election on our side. But remember, California has the top two. We could end up with two Democrat candidates, and there goes your choice. So choose the candidate on the Republican side that you think has the best chance to win. It may not be the candidate you like the best. Choose the one that you think will win. Voter ID. There are petitions out now for a state voter ID initiative, and they are being sent out by Carl DeMaio. It will require voter ID and verification of citizenship in the state of California in order to vote. Please understand, this is different from the voter ID that was put forth by the county. That was a change to our county charter. This one is for the entire state. It actually will hold more weight because it is not just our county, it's the state. Petitions are out. Sign them, find them. And when you are going to sign a petition, golly gee, it would really be nice if you'd remember how you are registered to vote, because it must be exactly as you are registered to vote when you sign the petition, or your signature will be invalid.
So your signature has to match the signature the way you registered to vote.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yes.
Same crayon, same pencil, whatever you did.
Yeah. Okay. Yes. So you just got a ballot for Prop 50. Go look at it. See how it's addressed to you. That's how you're registered to vote. Remember, write it down, take a picture, put it on your phone, something. So when you sign these petitions, you don't say, oh, I don't remember. How am I registered to vote?
Right.
Well, find out now.
Right.
Carl DeMaio is going to be speaking in Reading on October 21st. If you want information, it's at ShastaGOP.com. It's free. They just need you to register so they know who's coming. So ShastaGOP.com. Sign up to go hear Carl DeMaio. It's at Wind River. There are two town halls coming up, speaking about the state of Jefferson and the California state split. One will be in Lake County on the 25th of October and the other in Colusa on the 26th. So lots of things in the offing.
So thank you, Janet. You know, when we talk about Prop 50, if there's a yes vote on Prop 50 and we have two Dems running as governor, that wouldn't be so good, would it? You know, but the funny thing is with Prop...
Could happen, too.
It could happen, I know. It's good points. You know, and the thing is that a no vote on Prop 50 means we stay with the status quo. The status quo is what we have now. But what we could have could be much, much worse.
And go online and bring up the new districting.
Oh,
if yes wins on 50, the same district will go from Modoc to Marin County.
Yeah, that's
it
crazy.
It is outrageous. And that's just one example.
Yeah.
If Prop 50 passes, there will be four Republican districts in the state of California. Four.
And it will increase the...
And we won't be one of them.
And we won't be one of them.
And it will increase the House of Representatives between California and New York. We could end up with 75 seats in the House of Representatives that are now Democrats, just in two states. So this has nationwide ramifications.
Yeah. I think we have 9 now in California, and it will reduce it to 4, despite the fact that in the last presidential election, 40% of California
voted... She's talking about the Republicans, folks.
Oh,
that's what you're talking about.
Yeah.
She's talking about the Republicans, not just mine.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Despite the fact that in the last presidential election, 40% of Californians voted for Trump.
Right.
But we would be reduced to only 4 Republican districts.
Right. Now, we had heard some things, and Janet did some really great research for us, and she's going to enlighten us on a couple of things that are happening right here in River City, correct?
Well, in Shasta County.
Well, Shasta County is River City.
We're
River County.
No.
We're not Virgin
Reading
River.
Reading is River.
And we're not Virgin River.
No,
and
we're not.
In fact, Virgin River isn't even Virgin River. It's filmed in Canada.
Virgin River
is right.
British
it's
Columbia.
Canada. Yeah, it's British Columbia.
Despite the fact that it's supposed to be up in Humboldt.
Humboldt. Didn't know Eureka was that far away. Anyway, go ahead, my dear.
Well, it has come to my attention recently, and I'm going, my motto has become, and I filter everything through this lens. Why California? Why not Jefferson? And it came to my attention recently that some things are going on in education, excuse me, with which I do not agree. And I spent a career as a high school teacher, and I know how difficult it is and how rewarding it is. And two things came to my attention. One is called restorative justice. And the other is the phrase agent of oppression. And both of these ideas have been introduced into some of our districts in Shasta County. I will deal with restorative justice first because it is the most recent. It is definitely from the Shasta County Office of Education. It is a training. It's done in 5 parts. And the idea is it began for prisons. It's an idea that began in prisons and in the justice system. How do we make it fair for everybody? Well, you know, it's one of those feel-good kumbaya sorts of things. But now it's filtering into the schools. It's a program to make sure that everybody gets along and everybody is treated fairly, and We do not punish. We collaborate and cooperate.
How did that work in the prisons?
Well, you know, there's mixed reviews on that.
Okay.
Yeah, because some people
because
don't
they're
wait.
Empty now, right?
Yeah, there's nobody there. Yeah. The whole idea, it's an alternative form of justice. So if you have students misbehaving, let's not suspend them. Let's not kick them out. Let's not punish them. Let's deal with them to resolve the conflicts. Mm-hmm. And you resolve the conflicts by having circles and conferences and talking to not only victims but perpetrators and teachers and parents. And that's great. I think it's a nice effort, but it doesn't belong in our schools. What is the primary function of a school?
Education.
Education. Or is it a place to resolve mental health problems? I look at the latest statistics for our education system in California, and they're abysmal. We're not educating our students. But apparently, rather than having training sessions with our elementary teachers, particularly on how to teach phonics and how to bring math scores up to snuff, we're having training sessions on restorative justice and how to get together with our circles and our conferences. So that is my main problem with this whole thing. Why is this taking place in the schools?
Because they want to change society. That's why. Because they want to change society. They want to change the young people's thinking. Parents aren't involved. They know that. And I'm not saying all parents, and I'm not saying in all areas, but that's a lot of it. They want to, you know, they want to look at a Marxist form of government. I mean, you know, it's pretty simple in our school systems. I mean, when you look at SB 777, I mean, we're, you know, all these different laws that we have out there that boys can be girls if they want to be girls and girls can be boys and, you know, you can, sex is okay even if you're 5 years old. All this stuff is being taught. So, premarital sex is okay, is what I meant to say. But all this stuff is going on. This is really nothing new. In fact, this is kind of tame compared to a lot of the other stuff they've been doing to us.
It is. And I am not against the efforts that they are putting forth. It's a victor offender mediation, family group conferencing, circles. The overall goal of restorative justice is for participants to share their experience of what happened, to discuss who was harmed by the crime and how, and to create a consensus for what the offender can do to repair the harm from the offense. And it is founded upon the principle of power sharing and equality, and it's leading to honest and equal dialogue towards resolution. Well, that's nice.
Depending on what the violation was, dialogue is not going to help it.
The violation is, I feel like Josephine today, and, you know, and the law says I can be Josephine if I want to be Josephine, and you can't make me do it. Mark Beard had a great analogy this morning, just a great analogy about this. I know, let's have all the teachers wake up in the morning and hate themselves because they're white and maybe conservative, and then they can teach the kids how to hate themselves if they're white and conservative.
Yes. Yes, that's and it puts the burden on the teacher.
Right.
if the class is not doing well, or if there are problems, then it's the fault of the school. It's the fault of the teachers, and we need to bring everybody together.
Let me ask you a question for clarity.
Yeah.
Okay. The Shasta County School Board. This is something that we're implementing. Apparently, are we implementing this, or is this up for grabs, or it's already implemented?
It has been implemented in at least one district that I know of in the county, and for privacy reasons, I will not name the district. And the two people who are presenting this information in a series of 5 days of presentation, they are from the Shasta County Office of Education.
Okay, good answer.
Cool. Wow.
So, by the way, if you have a question, you can call in at 530-605-4567. 530-605-4567. Go ahead, Wayne.
So is it part of a board meeting minutes? it's documented that they're going through and doing all this stuff? Or is it just one-offs where they're having private meetings about it?
About the training?
Yeah.
Well, the training is instituted through the district, and it's required for all faculty members. And they've already gone through one day of the training.
Well, do the districts have a choice of whether they can implement this or not?
I have no idea.
Oh, okay.
And what about the staff? Do they have a choice whether they attend
or
not?
No.
It's mandatory.
It's mandatory. Yeah, like any staff training.
All staff trainings are mandatory?
Yeah. Well, wow. I suppose you could call off sick. But, you know, if it's part of the day for which you are being paid.
Gotcha.
Okay, we have a caller on the line.
Hours. Yeah.
This, Mark, what say you, sir?
I say that California is a clown car, and they're just trying to fit 50 more clowns in the car than they already have. I mean, Newsom has banned Glocks, banned gun barrels. Now he's got a deal going where white people can learn to hate themselves in kindergarten instead of waiting until they're 28 or 30. Girls can be boys. Boys can be girls. The school can take your children away from you if you don't teach them that boys can be girls and girls can be boys. Really, what is there to say about this stupidity and this idiocy? You could talk about this till the cows come home, but what we need to be talking about is what's the solution for it, unless people are just okay with having their very liberty to have a thought process stripped from them. I mean, really, this is mind control. This is getting children to submit to mind control and the circle and facing the four directions. And how can we get a murderer to see that murder isn't okay?
Especially when that murderer is a sociopath and he simply does not have the mental ability to empathize with anyone else.
Well, in addition to that, what the governor would like us to do is say that evil is good and good is evil and black is white and white is black and snow is black. And there was a German philosopher in the 1700s that said, give me two generations of your children and I'll have them agreeing that snow is black, and no king in Europe will ever need a standing army because their citizens will be perfectly conditioned and perfectly behaved. This is just Orwell's 1984. It's, yes is no, no is yes, up is down, down is up. And there's no culpability, there's no responsibility. Newsom just formed a new state agency, even though we're broke, even though he spent $27 billion on health care for illegal aliens. Now he's got a State Department of Reparations that he just signed this bill. So now there's going to be a bureaucracy to determine how white people can pay other people for some perceived wrong that they committed 250 years ago or back in 1860 when California was admitted as a free state and we never had any slaves here. And so now all of a sudden we have to pay people whom we don't know we're involved. We don't even know, I don't even know anybody that knows anybody that knows anybody that was involved. But we're going to pay for the perceived sins of, I imagine, white people, even though there were as many white slaves in the South as there were black slaves. So do Irish people get a check too? Do indentured servants get a check who literally sold their services for 7 years so that they could get here to at some point build a life? Do they have to pay too, or do they get paid? I want to get paid. I mean, how do I get paid too? Well, we can already get paid not to grow things here. There's that program too. So let's get paid not to grow things, and we'll get paid to not be somebody that we don't know because someone might have known that we knew somebody and therefore we're on the hook for it. And by the way, we can teach our children that when they're 5 years old.
Yeah,
I've got a good idea. Why don't we just have our checks deposited, our paychecks? Why don't they just deposit them in the Franchise Tax Board's bank account, and then the state can do whatever they want with the money, and if there's 10 cents left over, they might send it to us, although they don't send it to conservative counties because they hate us and wish we were dead.
You know, I want to ask your opinion on this, Mark, and that is that, it seems to me, Wynn and I had a talk about this not too long ago, that everything that's going on, people I mean, what does public opinion matter when there's no consequences for the bad guys? The program before us talked about all the nefarious things that have gone on in the city of Reading, and there's no consequences. What Jenna's talking about now, what are the consequences? I mean, we can stand there and complain about all this stuff and get it public awareness, but what happens with public awareness? Go ahead.
Well, look, there is a scientific principle called action and reaction. For every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. There are consequences, but they're negative. They're negative for the law-abiding people. The consequence of not handing out responsible sentences to criminals, the consequences for not punishing evil are against the average person, because the evil is allowed to grow and it's allowed to spread and it's allowed to get worse and worse and worse. Because guess what? If you're a crook and you know you can get away with something, well, what's your incentive to stop doing it? I mean, you're going to do more and more and more until finally your crime spirals out of control and you kill somebody or something like that. And then the person who is your victim paid the consequence for your crime. So, you know, there are consequences, but unfortunately the consequences are pointed at law-abiding, responsible citizens who want to earn a living and have a family and have a better life for their family and be able to learn, grow, and prosper in the place where they chose to live or whatever you want to call that. And then they want their kids to have a place in that same society so that they don't have to leave in order to prosper and grow and have families of their own. And that's where we are in California. Our children have to leave or they won't have opportunity in this state. That's really where we are. There's nothing here for them. There is no hope here. There's no future here because we're taxed to death. We're filled. Our government is filled with these stupid idiots. You know, the gay pride stuff, the gun grabbing stuff, the reprehensible political speech that comes out of Newsom. Oh, I want to punch all conservatives in the face, or I want to punch the president in the face, and that engenders more of that kind of stuff, because what he gets away with, everybody thinks they can get away with. I mean, his wife already peddles kiddie porn videos to the school system. She gets away with it, and she's making millions off it. Him and the Pelosi family and the Brown family control California, and the Feinstein family. They're getting filthy rich off it while the rest of us pay.
Well, I think we all agree that we cannot exist with California as it currently is being practiced. And the solution is a state split. I mean, that's very clear.
Amen. Yeah.
And we, of course, in our State of Jefferson Constitution, have completely revised the way that education is presented to the public, and much of the power for education is returned to the parents. The responsibility is returned to the parents and the children, and it's up to them to see that education takes place. It's not up to some bureaucrats in Sacramento.
Hallelujah. Well, Sacramento won't be part of Jefferson.
That's
there you
right.
go. Yeah. Hallelujah.
Yeah, here's the problem that we face. Are there enough people that want this to do something about it, number
right.
one? Number two, even if there are enough people here to do something about it, because people in these counties typically vote conservative, there are 36 counties in California that voted for President Trump, and yet here we are still stuck in California. So,
yep.
you know, the game is rigged in Sacramento. The game is rigged. The governor's election is rigged. You know, that Katie Porter, who is just she's just a terrible human being. She's a vile, despicable personality that, goodness, and look, Democrats are going to elect her probably, and the game is rigged against everybody else here. If you're not crazy, if you're not some kind of, commie weirdo leftist, there's nothing here for us.
Well, if you think the restorative justice program is bad, let me give you another one that was foisted upon a district in Shasta County.
Let me ask you one question before we go any further
okay.
with this. Is what you're telling us mandatory for all the districts, or are just these districts, do they have the flexibility to adopt these positions or not? Can they say no to this position? That's my question. If there's
and I can't tell you. I don't
okay,
know.
Okay, so what you're basing this on is that one particular district.
At least one, yeah.
One that you truly know of.
Yes.
Okay, so one district has this particular issue, And I know that we reached out to some people that a board member of SCOE, we reached out, and they didn't really have a clue in what we were talking about. So again, I'm wondering if all of this is one particular district, and even if it is, we haven't heard it. But the point is that again, as we go back to all this stuff is awful. But again, Mark, you know what we need here are solutions. The solution is a state split. I'll end with this. The reality is, number one, that we have, if Prop 50 passes, we get a Democrat as our governor. What are you folks going to do then? And I'll leave it right there. And Mark, can you stay with us till after the break?
Sure.
Great. Okay, because we got to take a break and we'll come back to all this. But that's my question, everybody. Because if Prop 50 passes and we get a Democrat as governor, are you ready for a state split? Because time has come.
For 51.
For 51, let's get her done.
Amen.
Edwards, CEO of the Reading Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
Hi, I'm Ted Bambino, president of the Reading Rodeo. We are thrilled to be partners with the Reading Rancheria. They are an integral part to the success of the Reading Rodeo.
Hi, I'm Julie. This is Debbie. We're here at the Shasta Family YMCA.
Hi, and I'm Kristen, the CEO. And on behalf of our team, I'd like to thank the Reading Rancheria for the many years of support for our programs and our projects like the playground.
Reading Rancheria, proud to play our part.
Get ready for the return of our pro football season picks. Simply swipe your River Club card at any promotional kiosk. Pick your teams for the week using our fully automated pick and win football promotion. It's that easy. Five winners receive up to $200 in free slot play every week. And our final week, you can win up to a $1,000 cash prize. And a pair of tickets to our annual Ultimate Tailgate Party. For complete promotional details, visit WinRiver.com or call 1-800-280-YOU-WIN. Find your moment at Wind River Resort and Casino.
Hey, this is Carl and Linda. When we want to get away and have a staycation, we go to our favorite place, and that is Holiday Harbor at Shasta Lake.
Check out the best rates on the lake for ski boats, houseboats, fishing boats, and all of your water toys.
Holiday Harbor's off-season rates are a great deal, plus September and October, the fishing's great.
Relax and enjoy your Shasta Lake experience by calling Holiday Harbor, and you can also find them at lakeshasta.com.
Holiday Harbor, call 530-238-2383.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Reading Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
Hi, my name is Lori from Backrups. We've been working with the Rancheria since 2008. It's an honor to be partnering with Rancheria. They are one of our favorite groups to work with.
I'm Yasmin Pena with Shasta Heating and Air Conditioning. We've been working with the Reading Rancheria since 2022, and we are proud to be their go-to whenever they need work done.
Reading Rancheria. Proud to play our part.
Well, yeah, I'm just trying to give. Yeah. I want, you know, I think our time that we spend, as we talked about,
so hey, you are in here for the 30 seconds, so you're going.
Oh, we're live. Okay.
I was in visiting.
There was another program in one of our districts, and again, I don't believe it came from SCOE. I don't know where it came from, but it was training that was presented to the faculty, and they were required to attend. And one of the tenets of this training program, they had to express verbally, orally, in the group, that they were agents of oppression, which is absolutely scary.
So this is where the teachers go to bed hating themselves, wake up hating themselves, and then teach the kids in the class to hate themselves.
Yes. And it is absolute Marxism.
Okay, so
that's what we said.
This is happening, so do you feel that this district was targeted?
I don't know. I don't know how it's set up. Of course, the teachers just show up for a training, and it is training in which they are taught about power and privilege and oppression.
Now, was it coming from the administration of SCOE, or was it coming from the board of SCOE?
I don't know that this one came from SCOE. I don't know.
Oh, okay.
All I can say is that it happened in a district in Shasta County.
Same district the other thing happened?
Yeah.
Oh, all right, we have one district. Okay, so
yeah.
Lori.
So got to be targeting.
Yeah, you think? Yeah. Lori has an announcement. Lori, go ahead, my dear.
Hey, thank you so much. Yeah, I just wanted to chime in with your conversation here. And there's a lot of assaults coming our way. Some and most are coming chemically, whether it's from the glyphosate GMOs on our youth children and, you know, susceptible people, 5G, EMF, the geoengineering sky dumps, and the constant toxic jabs called vaccines. If people are interested, they can go to this website. There's a digital premiere starting today, 5 o'clock. It's free, and it's produced or shared by Informed Consent Action Network with Dell Big Tree. All people have to do, if you're interested, because they've asked forever and a day, where's the study on the vaccine versus the non-vaccine people? And it's still being covered. They have the study done, and they won't share it, and they're going to cover why. They're going to do...
Okay, can you tell us when this is, Lori?
Today, 5 p.m. Pacific.
We're
at? It's the premiere, and all you have to do is go to this link, and you just put in your email, and then they'll send you a way to access it. It's called aninconvenientstudy.com. I'll repeat, aninconvenientstudy.com. No spaces, and you can get hooked up and get caught up, because amazingly, there's corporations, businesses, big pharma, they don't want this information out there. They just want to have us keep believing, not you guys, from my people either, that these are not safe and effective, and they keep adding more of these toxic vaccines. So that's something I just wanted to share with people.
Okay.
Today at 5 p.m. Pacific, and let's start paying attention. I hope our HHS and public health start sharing, start paying attention, because this is whole, you know, hypnotism thing and calling us conspiracy theorists is ridiculous and hypocritical. So that's my announcement.
Thank you.
Awesome. Okay. Thank you very much, Lori.
Thank you, guys. Take care. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Mark, are you still there?
Yeah, I couldn't hear any of that, though.
I know.
Yeah, it was totally separate from what we were doing. It's just an announcement, which was great.
Part of this agent of oppression, if you look up the information, and this was a training session presented to the faculty in this district, you are an oppressor if you are one of at least one of the following groups of people: white, able-bodied, heterosexual, male, Christian, middle or owning class people, middle-aged people, and English-speaking people. And, of course, the insidiousness of having this privilege is that it is invisible to you if you have it. You aren't aware of this disease. So this is what was being presented to the faculty of the school district.
Then how is it diagnosed if it's invisible?
Well,
I can tell you that.
Yeah,
you don't know it because you look in the mirror and you're white.
Yeah.
No. But if it's invisible, how do we know we have it? How do we self-diagnose? How does the psychotherapist diagnose it?
The disease is invisible, but you're not, because you look in the mirror and you have it, because you're not an oppressed class. I mean, you know, if you're in that the victim class, then you don't have it. And if you're in the oppressor class and you look in the mirror and see that, then you do have it. And this is right out of the Communist Manifesto.
Right.
I mean, when you look at these things, Mao said it, Stalin said it, Khrushchev said it, they all said it. Lenin said it, Trotsky said it, Molotov said it.
Marx.
They've all said it.
Yeah.
Mao and Pol Pot said it. You know, in Cambodia, they targeted the non-oppressed class. That was people who were like teachers, doctors, lawyers, chemists, engineers. They targeted them with death and killed them all, because the peasants were the oppressed class and they were the only ones that deserved to live. Right?
And if you are an oppressor, then that means that you are preventing other people from the potential of being fully human. And so you are actually hurting other people. And this comes very importantly into our educational system, because it is exploitation as an oppressor, and capitalism is a great oppressive system. So how can you possibly teach American history rightfully, if you think capitalism is bad.
We're the parents in this school district.
Exactly. They don't know. They don't know what's going on because parents have become disengaged to the educational system of their children because the educational system prevents them from becoming engaged. Look at all of these laws
that
the state has passed that parents cannot be involved. They can't be told if their kids are having gender identity problems.
So we are the victims then because the legislature and the governor of California are the oppressors.
Exactly. Isn't that ironic?
So swap the role there. They're doing what they're... They're telling us that we're doing what they're actually doing.
That's right.
Here we go one more time.
Right, you're right. I agree with everything you just said, Wynn, and basically...
I want my reparations.
Yeah.
You know, when the thing is that, okay, this is all fine and dandy, but, you know, apparently this school district is not being forced to do it. If we haven't heard this from, and I can think of a couple of people, there are strings attached. Yeah,
there are strings attached.
I haven't heard this of any other school district, and believe me, there are people out there that are engaged in their school districts.
Yeah.
So it seems to me like, okay, the people of this particular school district aren't paying attention, and I know a lot of moms have been, just ask the FBI. Those poor moms are all criminals, according to the FBI, that stood up for their children. So what the hell? What's really going on? I mean... Okay, we need to find, if people are oppressed and they feel it's irrelevant to them, then how can we be more concerned than they are?
I know.
And there's the problem. We're more concerned about a lot of things than other people out there. And when we have been working so hard for a state split for years, and yet people still come to us and say, when are you going to get the state of Jefferson for us?
When you get off your ass and help.
Yeah.
I mean, that's always my thought. I don't articulate it that way, but that's always my thought. When are you going to help? What are you going to do to help us?
And how many parents don't get involved with the school until their child is suspended or some sort of punishment is given to them, and then they storm down to the school and say, what are you doing to my kid?
Right.
I don't know how to answer that.
How many parents go to school board meetings?
I mean, the point is that we have something that's happening in one district that the parents don't care about or don't know about or both.
But if it happens in one, it can happen in others.
It can. Yeah. That's why we have been checking with SCOE and one of the board members to find out what the board member knows about all this. And we got a response from his wife, and the response was, you know, there's some grants out there for different things, but they really don't. There is no response. And knowing this particular school board member of SCOE, he would be Johnny on the spot to probably have this out there, knowing him. I mean, he would, and say something like, well, this is happening in all the schools. And, you know, I think maybe a program like this would be good if you know where this district is, Janet, and you get the people together and make those people in that district aware of this going on. But, I mean, we look at this, and, again, it's just one more thing that happens somewhere to some people, somehow, that we let happen as citizens. We let this happen to our kids in the school system. The school system is horrible. Get rid of the Department of Education. It sucks. All this stuff is really bad. Salt and Light, great Christian organization, they're fighting it. Public school exit, you know.
It's just another straw on the camel's back.
Yeah, but we need to have solutions to get the straw.
Well, the solution is how many straws do you put on that camel's back before people say, yeah, that's it, I'm done with California.
The solution is once you get the straw, you need to stand up against it.
But, well, and to how many people are going to be driven out of California for this very reason.
Just leave.
Exactly.
They're not going to be willing. At some point, they're going to hit a threshold where they're not willing to allow their kids to be continually victimized by one more thing, so that they throw their hands up and say, we're done. They sell everything and move across the state line to somewhere else.
And the problem with what happens in the schools is that it is a limited amount of time that your kid is in school.
Right.
And when they're there, you care. When the kid is gone from school, it's no longer a priority for you.
Right.
Property taxes are there forever. Yep. A lot of things are there forever as long as you are in the state. But with the schools, you tend to forget it as your kid leaves.
Or you're grateful, oh, thank God my kids were out before this happened.
Yes.
You always have that mentality, too, I mean, by others. And you just think, holy cow, how do we continue doing this?
But what we need to do, again, why California? Why not Jefferson? Why are we messing around with a system that is not serving the needs of our young people, our old people, us, our workers? It isn't working.
It isn't working. It's failing miserably.
And when does it become so important to you that you're willing to stand up and work for something else?
Right. I agree 100%.
I'm going to have you read this number because I forgot my glasses. Public school exit. And public school exit is ran by Dran Reese, who also is the chairman of the board of Salt and Light, which is a very, very popular Christian organization. You want your kids out of public school? You want to, if you're a single mom or dad, you need help? Can you read the number on there, Wynn?
Yeah, you can also go to the publicschoolexit.com. Publicschoolexit.com is their website. And the phone number for the office is 800-725-8654. Again, 888.
Right.
725-8654. Again, 888-725-8654.
Is there two numbers on there or just one?
There's a cell phone number as well.
The cell phone is Dran Reese. Go ahead.
Okay, that is 760-533-8607. Again, 760-533-8607 for Dran, D-R-A-N, Reese, R-E-E-S-E, and she's the CEO for this organization. And again, it's called the Public School Exit.
She's an amazing woman also. The thing that I do want to say about her is that any of you that are in the California Republican Assembly across the state, Shasta County, California Public Republican Assembly, chairman of the California Republican Assembly is on her board.
Hmm.
On her board, and she's the chairman of the board.
Okay.
So Mr. Bricky is on the board. So this is the real deal, folks. You want your kids out of public school, here's a number for you. Go help you. If you're a single mom, single dad, you need something, they'll help you. They're raising money. They do great things. They work with tons of pastors all over the world. You know, you want a good organization, go to somebody that's trying to do something about it. And by the way, she has been, I've talked to Dran before about the possibility of the split in California, and she certainly is not against it.
There you go.
We need to recognize that the school system, the Board of Education in your local district, is the closest we get to democracy. It's right down there at the people's level.
Mm-hmm.
We have the ability to make changes at that level because it is so direct to our vote.
And we need to start there immediately.
Yes.
Yeah.
And if you don't, but you need to know what's going on in your schools.
Right.
And I hear it all the time. I'm busy. That's a meeting at night. You know, it's Wednesday. I can't go. I have other things. I'm tired when I get home from work. I take off my boots and then I don't want to do anything else. Well, how important is your child's future to you?
Well, the minimum that you can do as a parent, or as we all should be doing, is getting a copy of the minutes of the board meetings. That way, at least you can read it on your free time. You know, have them get on an email list if they have one. If they don't have one, request that they have one and start demanding that information so you can see in writing what's going on, because they have to record all that.
That's true.
In writing, but they have to record it in writing, so ask for it, and that's what they operate off of.
And
so follow through with it.
To be fair, we have active parent groups who have fought the schools over
right.
masks and distancing and vaccinations
mm-hmm.
A few years ago. We have had them fighting. Is it Moms for Liberty?
Yes.
Is that the name?
Mm-hmm.
Who have been fighting for programs and things in the school that shouldn't be there.
And we have a local chapter here with very active folks.
Very active.
Yeah.
Very active, yeah.
Well, let me ask you a question then. If maybe we're barking up the wrong tree here. Does SCOE even have jurisdiction over this when their members don't even know what's going on? I don't. And you said school boards, Janet. That means that people need to go to their school board
meetings.
Their
local school board.
Well, then,
yes.
You know, okay, so as far as I know, SCOE is a negotiator. And what they do, a lot of their jurisdiction is trying to get deals for the teachers and those kinds of things.
No, they really don't. You mean
well,
for pay and salaries and that sort of thing? Is that what you mean deals for the teachers?
I think maybe for schools in the area, I think. I don't know. Point is
they don't negotiate salaries.
Whatever they do, they don't do this. they apparently have, if they don't know what's going on in this particular school district, then Janet, you're right, that people need to go to their school board meetings. I don't know that SCOE really does anything for that.
Well, I know that the two trainers for the restorative justice came from the Shasta County Office of Education.
And that's what I was asking. Are they administrative versus the board of SCOE? Because there's a big difference there.
Good point.
And they are administrative.
Because the board is elected. Mm-hmm. The administrative are hired staff. Mm-hmm. And are they in there doing their thing without SCOE's board's knowledge, approval, or whatever?
Well, but doesn't the Shasta County Board of Education have an obligation to know what the administrative is?
Absolutely. Absolutely. 100%.
At your local level, whatever district Board of Education is, they have the obligation to be on top of what's happening at each of the individual schools.
And the school board.
They don't.
And the Board of Supervisors should have knowledge if they didn't want to pass something and the people of the Registrar of Voters went ahead and took the money anyway, even though they were told not to take the money under these circumstances. So, I mean, here we go again.
Yep.
People in administrative positions that have absolutely no recourse whatsoever when they either do something that's nefarious, or they break the law,
and they don't have jurisdiction.
Overstep their bounds.
They don't have
their jurisdiction.
Yeah, the jurisdiction isn't there for them to do that. Then why is this happening? And you know, let's do a forensic audit. I think we should do a forensic audit on everything because guess what? That's got the power of law behind it.
If you get tax money, you need a forensic audit regularly.
But is a forensic audit federal?
Well, not if you're doing a local.
Okay.
One.
Well, this is what. Okay, because. Well, Dr. Danuka, if you're listening, or if somebody can get a hold of Dr. Danuka, I have a question because I was under the impression that a forensic audit was done at a federal level only. And I'm not saying I'm right. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I'm right or
only
not.
Only if it's a federal agency.
Nope.
Yeah, that's what my position
jurisdiction.
Was.
Jurisdiction.
So maybe I can get a phone call. Dr. Danuka.
I used to work for some state agencies, and we had forensic audits. And we cleaned up some messes that were among those state agencies. And this was 20-some-odd years ago when I was doing that. And I was the CEO of a couple different state agencies. And we had to have audits done, and we looked into it, and we figured we had to have a forensic audit because it had the power of law behind it.
Right.
So you can prosecute violators that are doing the nefarious things that they do, whether it's embezzlement, theft, whatever they were doing, it had the power of law behind it, and we used that.
I guess that's my question.
Mm-hmm.
Is the consequences that you would have mm-hmm. in a forensic audit, and it was found that you weren't quite honest,
mm-hmm.
Would that be a federal crime or a state crime?
It'd be a crime within the state.
So the state would have jurisdiction over that crime?
Yes.
And if that crime is in violation of an election law, which is a federal election law, then it would be federal.
Correct.
But it could be federal at the state level if it involves federal money.
Correct.
Right.
Or federal candidates.
Or federal, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Maybe that's mm-hmm. where it's at.
Ruh-roh.
You guys are so smart.
Oh, I know. Gosh.
We can't help it.
But
we're born this way.
I guess what I want to close this school business out with the idea that in the state of Jefferson, we have put together a plan for schools that would not allow this to happen because parents would be in charge of the schools. It would not be a so-called public school overseen by some body above you. It would be parent-driven, parent-controlled, parent-approved. And how else can you assure that your child will get a quality education except by being in charge of it? But there's the responsibility. Parents would have to be involved. They can't just say, well, I'm going to sit and watch TV with my boots off.
Well, yeah, and that's such a great point, Janet. You know, when you talk about the position of Jefferson, I mean, I did a program with Leslie Sawyer, oh, I don't know, maybe a couple years ago, maybe a year and a half ago, something like that. And we were talking about, you know, we took the excerpt of the that Janet had a lot to do with, and Chris Ann Hall,
mm-hmm.
As far as the educational position we're going to have in the state of Jefferson, and it was good. maybe, I don't know. I mean, maybe we should have another Mountaintop Media podcast with Janet and maybe folks from Moms for Liberty in discussing the that kind of position. Because regardless of what we do in the public school system, whether you're for it or not, or, you know, the big argument is, you know, I'm a single mom with, you know, with kids, or I'm a single dad with kids, and I have to work, and they've got to go to school, and da-da-da-da. Well, that's why when you have public school exit, that's who they help. That's what they do as far as helping, and they're an organization that's growing leaps and bounds.
And I'm a veteran of the homeschooling system.
You sure are.
I homeschooled my two sons for a time, and I know how difficult it is, and I know how rewarding it is. And I also know that my kids got a better education in the time I had them than they would have gotten in school.
I believe that.
And it took less time.
Yeah.
And I was very proud of them. Of course, you know, because of that homeschooling system, they really got behind. They both ended up with master's degrees.
And
I failed them.
And they're out being productive citizens.
Yeah, citizens. What's wrong with you?
Yeah. How could I have failed them so?
Yeah, it's, you know, and that's the thing. I think that, you know, there's not much denying, but think about this, folks. Think about this a minute. You know, we are in this room, and many of us are going to vote no on Prop 50. The way California is set up, we have Santa Clara County, which alone could wipe out votes in Shasta, Siskiyou, Tehama, Lassen, Modoc, probably Plumas and Sierra. They could just nullify those votes with votes to spare. Oh, What about San Francisco County? Oh, what about L.A. County? There's, what, 11 million people down there?
Yeah.
What, 6 million voters, something like that?
Yeah.
We're
up that proverbial creek, and we don't have a paddle, let alone a canoe.
Yeah.
So we're in a world of hurt with this one.
And I applaud Carl DeMaio's petitions now for requiring ID and the other thing, voter ID and proof of citizenship, and that's great. And I have the petition here. I've signed it. Other people will too.
Sure.
But what good is it going to do if our vote means nothing because it's just 1 out of 10 against us?
Well, right. it's always that, you know, you can always go back to that they're cheating. You know, and I don't know how long we've been giving data to the powers that be. I mean, we've given so much data on, I mean, Bev Gray, God bless her, has just almost, well, not single-handedly, but darn near, shown a lot of evidence of all the malfeasance that's happened in this county. And lo and behold, no one's listening.
Right.
So we just don't have a situation where, you know, hopefully Clint Curtis can make some changes here. I think Clint Curtis was at this event.
He's going to speak.
He's going to speak at the event with Carl DeMaio, which I thought was pretty cool.
ShastaGOP.com. All they need you to do is sign up.
Okay, say it again.
It's free. ShastaGOP.com, and just sign up for the event.
So you have to sign up so you're on a list so you can get in? Is that the deal?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's free. There's no cost.
And nice.
Yeah, Clint Curtis will speak and Carl DeMaio.
What time of day is that?
I think it's at 6:30. It's in the evening at Wind River.
At Wind River. Okay.
Like October
21st.
21st.
Tuesday, I think.
Yes. Okay, so October 21st, Wind River.
Yep, Tuesday.
You need to sign up first by going to
ShastaGOP.com.
So, you know, I think that, you know, sooner or later, as counties, we're going to have to stand up and say no to California. I mean, it's sooner or later, either you get swallowed up by the beast. I mean, if we have to have a great vote, a strong vote, a no on 50, just to remain where we are right now with all the atrocities that we're hearing every day, every morning, the stuff Janet just brought up in a school district, all the different things. What the hell? What are we thinking? Okay, so we're voting no so that we can have the status quo. For the status quo. That it doesn't change anything. We're voting no so they don't hurt us more or it takes longer for them to hurt us. Wake up, because we've got to split this state. We've got to split this state.
Amen.
Period. There's nothing else we can do. It's done. James Gallagher has stood up and said, hey, we got to split the state. There's nothing else we can do. Because we're screwed.
Well, and that's before Prop 50 came up.
Right.
Yeah. And if Prop 50 passes, then we're really doomed.
Yeah.
We don't have representation now. What will it be when they take away our district?
Yeah. And if we win, we still don't have a say.
That's right.
It just isn't as bad.
Yeah.
Okay. So, you know, it's what? Death by firing squad or getting your head cut off?
Whichever one you want.
I guess.
Choose.
I'll tell you what I want.
I want 51.
I do too. I think time has come.
For 51.
Let's get her done.
It's Psalm 23 when I'm scared to death. A sleeping pill when my mind won't rest. A little baby king when the thrill is gone. These are the things that I lean on. God's grace when I'm